Today marks the accomplishment of a lot of firsts for me. My first time being in a relationship, my first time being married, my first time being in love. Well, hopefully.
Experts hit it.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry. I don't think I can do this. I don't want to marry a stranger.
Oy vey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. It is the Married at First Sight edition. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host. It's the one only Teresa right there.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? I love when you're complaining, Jewish.
Can I complain in English and say that you used the wrong word?
I was going to say Judaism, but
no, I'm still wrong. You would be closer.
So what language was your complaint in? And don't get me wrong, I know what it means.
I'm verklempt. I'm verklempt over here.
I bought you the mug.
I'm verklempt over here. Yiddish. It would be Yiddish.
Oh, so it wasn't Judaism.
I do not. Let's not get it twisted. No, but I'm schwitzen. Over here, I'm pulling my hair out over this season, Teresa, and forget the religion. I know that's a whole bag of hammers for some of these couples, but
I feel like I should buy you that mug too.
Which one?
Did you say Schwitzen?
Schwitzen? I'll get you the Yiddish dictionary.
Okay.
We'll get you up to speed. Yeah, this season, I mean, they brought Michael back. Because they wouldn't have a season without him. It wasn't like, you know what, Michael, we feel bad. We fucked up. We want to get you a second chance at love. It was like, we're going to have a lot of make-dos for our advertisers if we don't keep this season rolling. So, Michael, would you mind filming another 10 episodes?
It's wild. I still hope that Becca and Austin make it because they're still in it. They complain. They have issues.
I'm so over them.
But they're still touchy feeling.
I'm over them. It's all for show.
However, I feel like one more little disagreement on a big thing, that'll be it.
What's bigger than heaven or hell? This is as big as it gets.
I mean, if you believe in that.
One of them does, which is the main issue.
True, but the other one has an issue with it. If you told me that I may end up in hell, I'd be like, all right, I don't care because I don't believe in that.
I disagree. You would take me seriously and go, oh, he really is this invested in this belief. It would have an impact. You would not be able to just dismiss that comment because
I would more be concerned about you thinking that I'm a bad person, that that's where I'm going to end up.
Exactly.
That's not what she's concerned about. She's concerned that they would get separated after that. She said it.
No. That's
she
what she
said it.
There's a lot of things being said on this season, on this episode in particular, that are being said for television's sake. Deep down, these people are not being completely honest with themselves or with us. And that's what I said 2, 3, 4 episodes ago. I said Austin is way more religious than he's letting on. And now it's slowly seeping out and is having a big impact on the relationship.
Yeah, but he keeps saying, and I want to believe him, but he keeps saying, oh, well, my church accepts everyone, accepts gay marriage, accepts all kinds of people, and I'm open-minded to other point of views.
If they accept the big J, which Becca doesn't.
Correct, but I'm saying he said I'm open to other point of views, other
that's
ideas.
That's what he says on the camera.
So that's what I'm saying. Is he saying it for the show, yes, or is he really that open?
He's saying it for the show.
You think so?
I know so. I don't want to do the whole segment right now, but I got to get it off my chest. When Becca posed the question, oh, do you think I'm going to go to heaven or hell, or is it okay if I don't believe? He was noncommittal. He was like, I don't know. I need to think about it. That's a no. That's a you're going to hell. You're not going to heaven. You're not with me. You're with the other. If he felt she was going to heaven, he would have said it. But he doesn't believe it, but he doesn't want to go all the way to the other end of the spectrum. So he's like, I don't know. I need to think about it. So he's decided in his mind, he just doesn't want to be totally honest on camera.
Well, he's trying to make sure that she's not a believer, so she can she come with me? Which, again, why do you think about stuff like this? Who cares?
What do you, which part?
The heaven and hell, who cares?
Eh, a lot of people care.
It's warm in hell.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Smash like it's hot as hell. I hope that's your smash like it's hot for this episode.
It's not, but.
I don't ever want to tell someone what to believe. And I would never want someone to tell me what to believe. And for that reason.
I'm out.
I'm out. Yeah. There's a few other sharks left. No, for that reason, they're incompatible. Because one is going to have to tell the other, here's what you need to believe in order for this relationship to sustain.
Of course they're incompatible.
Stick to speaking Judaism.
Religion is so big. I say it all the time. The experts didn't do, like, I can see them being matched on other levels. Yes, they get along, sure. But the religion is too big. And they may overcome it if they both wrap their mind around and kind of like meet each other in the middle. However, once they start talking about kids, it's going to be the same issue. Yeah. So I don't know how they're going to overcome it. Either he needs to become less religious or she needs to become more religious.
You were the one who said you believed in them.
I do, if they can overcome this.
Okay.
Because right. I do see a potential. I do see them getting along. Their only issue is the freaking religious issue.
Big issue.
It is. But PC thinks that it doesn't matter, that they're a great match on the paper. It's like, bro, I think you must mess up once again.
Yeah, once again.
However, if they meet each other in the middle, I think they can make it past decision day.
All right.
However, can they make it? Question mark.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't think so because of kids.
All right. We'll talk about it at length in a minute. Before we do, real quick, a little business. We're on Patreon. We're on Supercast. It's important to mention because we're covering a new season over there. New season of The Single Life. We are one episode in so far, and it is wild. Have you ever heard of Natalie? Have you ever heard of The Woods? If you want to hear our thoughts on Natalie and Tyree and Debbie and John of John and Patrick, well, come on over to the Patreon of the Supercast, patreon.com/MarriedToReality or MarriedToReality.supercast.com. We're talking about it starting at the Cousins Club level. Audio only. Family Affair level. You got video of us doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And a monthly bonus on the Family Affair level.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Also, check us out on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod. We do memes once in a while. We share news updates. But most importantly, that's where you call in. When we say call in, share your thoughts, that's our direct line. So follow us on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod and call in over there.
Call in, guys. Say hello.
Messages.
Say Happy New Year.
Messages. Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Is this our first pod? It is.
It's our first, it's our first public pod.
It is our first public pod. Happy New Year. What year is it?
2024. But I feel like a lot of people probably skipped the business, although you shouldn't. So save the Happy New Year for when we come back in to the main show.
All right.
But Happy New Year to you guys listening right now. All right. So Instagram, Patreon, Supercast. Also, just make sure to follow the podcast wherever you're listening right now. It's so easy to do. Look down. Smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hot.
As hell.
No.
Oh.
As hot as the beautiful snow horses.
Oh.
They were very furry. They were snow horses.
Very, very swell. Hello, sir. So smash like it's as hot as those horses. And last but not least.
Snow horses. Snorses.
If you will. Last but not least, if you haven't left a review, please do. You guys know we love Lover Suckers for a little love. And 'tis the season still. It's a belated holiday gift if you could leave us a review.
Okay. No, it's not the season. It's January. It's the Monday of the year.
All right.
But you should still leave us a review.
Start the year off right. If you can leave us a review, that would be great. 5-star reviews. We will read on the Monday podcast. And we would be forever grateful. So please,
forever.
If you haven't left a review, please do. All right. That is it. Let's get into this episode. This is Maps Denver. This is season 17. This is episode 11. First and foremost, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We are glad to kick off the new year with this episode. This is the first free. It's the first public episode of the year.
Yes, guys. Happy New Year. Shchastny Novy Rok.
Shchastny Novy Rok.
Exactly.
Nastravi.
Exactly.
Teresa's not speaking Judaism over there. She's speaking Czech.
And so are you.
And so am I. So let's do it. Let's talk about Emily and Brennan.
All right. I'm making some, making some pizza. Pizza, pizza.
The couple that cooks together, stays together, is something I always say. Unless you're cooking pizza with pineapple on it.
And then I like pineapple pizza.
Oh, I've honestly never seen you eat it. And I'm
I honestly don't. Good. But if someone put it in front of me, I would have a little bite.
Really? Yeah, it's because you disrespect pizza left and right.
What are you talking about? I finally admitted that the New Haven style pizza that we had in Connecticut was good.
Thank you.
I finally got the toppings that I liked on it.
Thank you. New Haven pizza is the best pizza. I'm not even being subjective. This is objective. Many people have spoken about it, written about it. But
you know what it is? I said it before. I don't like thin crust. Yeah. I like thick pizza that when I eat it, it's like a sandwich. It doesn't plop down and have all my toppings fall off my pizza.
Not everyone has good taste, Teresa, but I'm happy you could finally agree that New Haven pizza is the best pizza.
I didn't say that. I said it's good. If you put the right toppings in it.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I haven't done my research to back this up, but whatever. I don't think you could get pineapple pizza in New Haven. I'm just going to say it. Go to Sally's, go to Modern, go to Pepe's, go to Bar. I don't think they will put pineapple on pizza.
Do they put artichoke on pizza?
Probably.
Good.
Okay. Anyways, Emily and Brennan are making some pies. It's the day after Dr. Pia visited. Emily loved it. She found it valuable.
Yeah, I really like Emily. When we met her at the beginning of the season, I thought, oh my gosh, she's going to be annoying party girl. But I do like her.
I think you were projecting when you saw her. You're like, oh, look at this girl drinking all the time, partying, woo girl. Yeah, you were projecting.
Yeah. And she still is a party girl who drinks all the time. However, she has a nice personality. Her eyes, those need some help because she has zero poker face. I hope she does not play poker because otherwise, she will never win.
Except Brennan doesn't know what those eyes mean, which is ridiculous.
He doesn't really look at her.
He needs a translator because...
Well, I don't think he looks at her.
I wouldn't look directly at those eyes either. But when Dr. P was over and she was making the face, Brennan's like, oh yeah, that's her thinking face. She's just thinking. It's like, she's thinking you're an asshole. That's what that face
her
is.
Her eyes literally roll and then get out of her head. She's like a little snail. The eyes just get out and then get back in. Have you ever touched snail's eyes?
No.
When I was a kid, it was a big, big hobby of mine to, when it rained, after the rain, yeah. I went out with my little rain boots and a bucket, mm-hmm. picked up snails, lined them up, and then I was touching their eyes and I was watching which one really like get it in and out the fastest.
Man, when PlayStation gets to the Czech Republic, these kids are, their minds are going to be blown. Let me just tell you. Goodbye, snails.
I had great childhood. You've never done that?
Hello, video games. No, I never did.
We should do it. I think you're missing out.
No, we shouldn't. Anyways, Emily loved the Dr. Pia visit. Brennan, not so much. He didn't appreciate the homework. There was an exercise, a naked touching exercise.
Well, as little of clothing as they feel comfortable.
Yeah, which is an invitation to have fun. And Brennan doesn't want to have fun. He's like, maybe instead we could just like hug more.
Well, I like hugging too. Hugging's nice.
Naked hugging is even better.
Correct. But hugging's nice if you want to be hugged. I don't like when random people hug me. I really don't.
I'm with you. It took you a long time to warm up.
It did. And now I hug people when they like try to hug me. I do the hug. Sometimes I do the hugging on my own. We just ran into my friend on the street. I hugged her first.
We did?
Yeah.
Teresa's mouthing her friend's name.
But we went on a walk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I hugged her. I don't really hug people, but I do now, I guess. But if it's someone like I don't want to be hugged, that's not a pleasant hug. Right?
I'm with you.
So if he doesn't feel it, why would you suggest hugging? Hugging is so awesome. Why would you spoil it?
Because I think what Dr. P is trying to accomplish is get out of the friend zone, get out of this, we're just two independent people, and try to form a connection, try to form a bond, and a physical touch could help form that bond. Emily is all on board, and Brennan's
she's
like,
into him.
I know.
Yeah, well,
I don't get why he's not into her.
I don't know.
We have speculations. Our friends have called in. You guys have called in. Everyone's got speculations. I don't know that anyone's come with a hot explanation where I'm like, oh, never thought of that. That's great. But I hope we get it.
Someone said that he mentioned on
the partying.
Yeah, the partying.
You
and
said
the
that too before.
Well, I guessed it. I didn't see the after party.
I think we're all dancing around the same ideas. I want an out of the box idea. I want like, oh my God, never thought of that. That must be it. Because everything we're saying is not.
Here's the thing. If that's the reason, the partying, that's the dumbest shit ever.
Dumbest reason ever.
That's in her past.
I don't think it is the reason because he said the second episode, oh, this is what I always wanted, someone to party with, someone to bring me out of my shell.
Well, one of our friends said that it's because both of her one-night stands. But again, it's in the past. You don't need to talk about it. But if she was sleeping around, she's never been in a relationship. So what? As long as she carries zero diseases.
Yeah, plus
here's my hot take.
Oh, here
she
we go.
She banged his best friend or someone he knows.
Not a great take. But
that's a great take.
It's not a great take. It's something that occurred to Brennan mid-honeymoon or late honeymoon. It's something that, because everything was hunky-dory until mid to late honeymoon. It's something that he realized or something happened or she did mid to late honeymoon.
Correct.
I don't think she banged his best friend on the honeymoon.
No, I think maybe she banged someone he either loves, like a friend, or someone he hates. Because they talked about past relationships.
That's too easy to tell.
Like, yeah, I just had a sexual encounter with so-and-so.
It's too easy to say. He keeps going on with the defense of, I wouldn't want someone to say this about me, so I'm not going to say this about her.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's too easy to be like, well, she slept with my best friend. It's not that.
So, I still think it's farting. Yeah.
All right. Should we move on?
Yes.
All right. Guess who's back?
Back again.
Michael's back.
And so is DP, SDP, NPC.
They all feel bad about what happened to Michael. I think we all feel bad about what happened to Michael.
And DP takes an ownership in a way, says, I should have seen it coming.
Well, it's not Michael's fault.
No, DP.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Someone better take ownership for it. And it should be the experts. It's not Michael's fault. It is the runaway bride's fault.
Yeah.
But definitely not Michael's fault. Here's what's Michael's fault. Lose the crown.
Yeah.
The crown is like holding on to the wedding ring after the divorce.
Yeah.
Let it go. It was given to you. I get it. It was a nice gesture. And maybe you're wearing it to try to show that you can move forward. But that's from a past relationship. Lose the crown, pawn it, move on.
Pawn it. You think that plastic can be pawned?
Return it to Burger King then. Lose the crown.
Yeah, he should. It wasn't Michael's fault. Of course it wasn't. It was her fault. But I wish that she had to pay some penalty because you sign up for Married at First Sight. What do you expect?
I love a loophole. I love... And I'll probably get hate for this.
Well, the loophole should be within a week.
No, the loophole was
you don't get all the fun stuff and the partying and then you get all the dresses and then you go down the aisle and you say, I can't do that.
Yeah, that you can't force someone to get married. So that's as far as you can legally take it. Like, hey, you have to show up on your wedding day. What you choose to do is up to you. You can't force someone to get married. I respect the loophole.
I mean, correct. I do too. Absolutely. Yeah, you cannot force someone to marry. I'm with you, right? But I wish people who sign up for this show sign up for the right reasons.
Yes, I want to know. She should owe it to us, whether it's in one of those witness protection silhouettes or whatnot. She owes us a 10 to 20 minute one-on-one interview where she tells us what happened, what went wrong, why she changed her mind, when she changed her mind. She doesn't have to reveal herself. Stay in the witness protection silhouette shadow, but give us some answers.
Yeah, she should.
But she is old news. We might find a new match for
yeah,
Michael.
So they're asking Michael if he would be willing to do this again. And Michael said it was hard. He felt upset, not at first, but then he felt upset because it hit him.
Yeah.
He was like, did she see me and said, oh, hell no. Like, what was that? What happened? And yeah. It got to him. And of course it did. But he said, I realized that I'm more ready to be married than I thought I was. So yes, he's ready again.
And here's the biggest mistake I think the experts made in this entire season. On camera, they were like, so describe the woman you're looking for. Like, he did a whole questionnaire, went through the whole interview. Like, really? Are you doing this for content's sake? Or are you really like, let's figure out what you want? Because it didn't look good. It didn't look good for the experts to be like, tell us who you're looking for.
Yeah. And he's like, an intelligent woman who's also a little silly.
Well, sweet and silly.
Sweet and silly.
My favorite sauce at Burger King.
Not even Burger King. That's what you had for dinner.
Sweet and silly sauce?
That's what the chicken was dipped in.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a little chicken and a soy sauce dipped in or like coated in sweet chili sauce.
Sweet and sour?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like my ex.
Oh, I'm just good. Kidding. Wait, you're sweet? No. Who's the hoe?
What a slut. She did not speak Judaism. I will tell you that, though.
Good.
So, yeah. So,
good.
They find out, okay, he wants a silly girl, a sweet girl, an intelligent girl. If you're going to go back and ask questions, let's double down and make sure, check on religion, check on kids.
Thank you.
Like, if you really want to do your due diligence, these are the questions. Like, you've now had the luxury of seeing these other couples for a month and see what the issues are that arise. Maybe ask, how important is religion? How important are kids?
Yes, and I was hoping they would, but they didn't.
No.
He needs someone who will match his vibe. And I'm not saying he needs someone who is extravagant, dresses like Michael, but I saw a snippet of who he's going to be paired up with. She looks very boring.
Wait, you saw her face?
Yeah.
There was a
snippet of her dress shopping.
I missed her face.
Very not Michael's style.
Interesting. Well, but again, the experts love opposites attract. Well, Michael's very exciting and creative and artistic,
so we paired
him with a boring person.
He needs someone like Becca, someone with a personality, with a style, her own style, right? Doesn't need to be like Michael, but someone like that, someone a little bolder. From what I've seen, and again, it was 2 seconds, I don't think that this is going to be the match. She also seems older, but then I figured that Michael is a little older.
Is he, what is he, 38?
I think he's in late 30s.
38, I think. All right, well, I'm hopeful. I think he deserves love, and I'm going to put my faith in the experts.
I do, too. I like Michael. I want to be his friend.
All right.
We would go shopping.
So Michael gathers his friends, Teresa not included, and they meet at a bar. And he's filling them in, telling them what happened with the experts and how they may have a potential new match for him.
Friends are skeptical of the experts. And I'm glad they say, they did not do a good job.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment, friends.
Yeah, but Pretty in Pink.
Hello.
DP rolls in.
That's her color.
That is her color. She looks better and better.
She's getting better, right?
I think she's doing Botox.
DP looked kind of sexy this episode.
I feel like I should start doing Botox so I can look like DP when I hit her age.
I mean, DP is like 30 years older than you, I'm sure.
Well, I should start now.
DT over here. So, Pretty in Pink arrives. And Michael, rightfully so, questions like, hey, the method didn't really seem to work out last time. Anything different? Did you refresh the Google Doc? What's going on? How are you going to really help me this time?
So they did. And not only that, they found him a new match.
Whoa.
Do you accept Michael?
He does.
He does. And friends are happy for him, which, okay, I get it, it's your friend, but let's stay on the skeptical side. I hope he goes into this thinking it may or may not happen.
No, see, I don't like this. And this is my concern. I don't like this at all, Teresa.
What? This is how I live my life. I always prepare for the worst case scenario for anything I do. So if it happens, I don't feel hurt.
I don't like that mindset. I would rather be glass half full. I consider myself a realist, not an optimist, but I would rather be glass half full. Here's why I don't like what you're saying.
I'm a realist.
Okay.
I'm a realistic realist.
Okay.
Double R.
Okay. Here's why I don't like this. You're going to have two people going into this relationship that are aware of a couple things. Michael is going to be aware that the first time it didn't work out. And maybe now he's going to be more guarded because of it. He's not going to be as open and willing to love as easily as he was a month ago. He also knows this is the second person I'm matched with. So maybe she's not the person I should be with. Why wasn't I matched with her the first time? This lady, whoever she is, that's going to be matched with Michael, knows she's the second in line.
Yeah.
No, she's not the number one choice. And so there's a lot of questioning going on, I'm sure, within this couple that you need to throw it all to the side and just be like, you know what? I'm all in on this. I'm putting all my trust in the experts and I'm going to go 100% in.
Correct. However, it's not like they said, I do. And then after the ceremony, she freaked out and said, I don't want to do it. Like Alyssa, right?
Yeah.
She didn't even get there. So I don't even see her as, oh, she's the number one. She's a failure.
Who?
The runaway bride.
Okay. But whoever is getting paired with Michael now knows she's not number one. So wouldn't you go, well, if I'm so great for Michael, why wasn't I number one?
Well, correct. But at the same time, I'm sure it comes down to multiple people and they kind of do eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
I'm not saying the system is flawed or that she shouldn't have been chosen.
Oh, it is flawed.
I'm just saying these are going to be nuggets in Michael and his future bride's minds that could cause issues. And so when you're saying, like, I don't know, be skeptical, I'm saying try not to be. Try to be as open and as positive and as accepting as you can be of the process, because there's enough outward influence that could weigh you down and tear you apart if you start to question, why am I with her now? Why wasn't I with her in the beginning? Oh, he was supposed to be with someone else. Now, there's too much baggage already with this couple.
All right, I can see your point, but not DP, because she's like, oh, hell yes, and she pops the bubbles. Because they need something successful in this season.
This is the worst season in history.
Okay. I love watching it. It's but fantastic. It is a bad season.
It's bad in terms of love. I love it, but I'm sure the participants don't.
It's getting worse and worse. I'm wondering if they're going to continue.
I don't see how they can. There's one couple hanging on by a thread, and then hopefully Michael and his new lady come in, but
I think they will continue because it's very popular, but they need better screening.
Yeah. Something needs to change.
Yeah, and they need to. I still believe that they pick some couples truly for entertainment.
You're allowed one. You're allowed, out of five couples, you're allowed one TV couple. And then do four who are like, maybe they're boring, but wouldn't it be amazing if this TV show was able to match people for a happy marriage? Like, that's what it should all be about. That's what it was originally. That's why people fell in love with the show in the first place.
Also, not everyone needs to be fabulous. I feel like they always pick decent-looking people. Like, pair them up based on their religion, what they want from life, maybe level of education, what they do for a living. Pair them up based on that. And then look at if they could be compatible. Like if someone asks for a blonde girl, you're not going to pair them up with someone with black hair, right? Mm-hmm. If that's a thing. But there are other
things. That I would push back on. Those are the things I would say. Like, you've only dated blondes. Maybe you should try dating a brunette.
No, but that's not a thing. find a blonde that matches what they're asking for, not for what you think they need.
Then what's the point of the experts?
Oh, the point was that 2010 seasons ago, at this point, there's no point.
You can't just give the people what they want. Otherwise, they should just go to a bar and find their own match. The experts need to come in and use whatever expertise they have.
What is that?
Well, I think they're trying to create drama, which is the issue. They need to go back to trying to create happy couples.
Don't get me wrong. I'm here for the drama. I love the drama, right?
Yeah.
But look at these couples. Like, they could... Austin and Becca could be compatible, but religion is an issue and they should have seen it coming. Brandon and Emily, I don't know what happened, but you put together a guy who's very serious and a girl who's never been in a relationship.
This you cannot put on the experts. Emily and Brandon, you can't put on the experts because Brandon's unwilling to tell the experts what the issue is.
True, but if let's go with the fact that it's the fact she's sporting and she was drinking a lot before,
it's
right?
It's not that, but okay, let's go with it.
Well, okay, well, why would you pair up someone who's very serious with someone who's so fun?
That's what they do. They're like, well, you're boring, so let's pair you with a socialite.
Yeah, but they should have paired him up with someone who is fun, but maybe a little laid-back fun. He comes from a serious family. He has hardworking Russian parents. He wants that wife who's just gonna work and be serious and take care of the family. Emily's living her best life, and there is nothing wrong with that. No. They're a bad match.
Bad match.
Like, I feel like I should join Mavs.
Wait, for what?
For my tea expertise.
Oh, okay, not for a spouse.
I put the tea in the expertise.
I love it.
Right?
If Mavs had taglines like Real Housewives, that would be yours.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. Let's talk about one more bad couple, Claire and Cameron.
These guys are killing me.
Bad couple, bad date. You're in Colorado. It's clearly winter time. Go to a real ski mountain.
Right.
I was fired up. I could barely take notes during this segment. I was so fired up. You're cutting out to the sidewalk where Claire is wearing a winter hat and a winter jacket. She's giving her interview. Then you cut back inside and you're skiing down a fake mountain. Go to a real ski mountain.
It's horrible. I get it if you're learning how to ski.
I don't. It looks harder than learning on a bunny slope.
I guess.
It looks way harder.
I did learn on a bunny slope, didn't you?
I did too.
But I really progressed fast.
I was a pretty fast progressor myself. Yeah. I ended up teaching Teresa.
Ooh.
I taught snowboarding.
Ooh, I never did, but I'm good.
Shout out to Mount Southington.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my real feeling about this. A ski slope? Too romantic for them. Think about how romantic nothing is more romantic than a ski slope.
Our first trip.
It was our first. You're spending the afternoon. You're skiing. Maybe it's snowing a little bit. You're all bundled up. You go inside the lodge. There's a fire. You have a hot cocoa. A ski slope is so romantic. This is the opposite of romantic.
Like hot cocoa.
This is where friends go.
I guess.
This is where friends go, and that's why it bothered me. If you're really trying to spark some romance, go to the bunny slope.
True. I'm with you. I love snowboarding and skiing and winter. Living in Florida already does it for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very disappointed in Claire and Cameron because I thought they will be a good couple. I thought they paired up well. They're both very smart. They're both like decent looking, right? So it's like they have that. They seem to hit it off during the wedding. I don't know what happened to them.
They both got into their heads. Cameron more than anyone. And for some reason, Cameron's so scared to get hurt, it seems like.
But he was into her. He said, I would like to get more cozy with my wife. She wasn't.
I know.
And now she's almost taking it back, saying, oh, I'm sorry, I should have been more open.
But he's unwilling to try. If we are to believe that he is or was into Claire, he was so scared to try and invest himself and get hurt that he was like, well, we shouldn't even be together because God forbid one of us tried and got hurt. That would be the worst thing. So let's just not try.
Well, here is what I'm curious about. Okay, they're not really making it and they might call it quits, but they are still appearing in all the previews of the decision day. So are they going to call it quits?
There'd be no episodes if they didn't appear. There's no one to film.
True.
They have to.
All right. So in those skiing, they're chatting after. And Cameron's like, we're having fun. And Claire's like, yeah, but it's weird. We have a platonic marriage.
Yeah, it's friend zone.
It is a friend zone. And they, Claire literally says, he's like my best friend. I don't know what I would do if I don't see him every day. But I think I've never experienced it, but I do believe that friendship can grow.
I think so.
Into love.
I think so.
I do think so too. I think doing it the other way around is easier if you find the right person and you fell in love and become besties at the same time,
mm-hmm.
like you and I, mm-hmm. best friends for life.
Sure.
Then I think that's the easier way, right? Yeah. But I believe that best friends or friends can fall in love. They're just giving up too fast.
Yeah. I don't love their approach. First and foremost, because this is an 8-week experiment. At least put in the 8 weeks. You got this far. You said I do at the altar. At least put in the 8 weeks. And then on decision day, decide. So many couples this season are deciding prematurely. That's not the experiment. Put in the work. Go to a ski slope. Sip a hot cocoa by a real fire and then see if there's a spark.
Sip on hot toddy by the real fire. Sip. Who drinks hot cocoa?
Ooh, a little Swiss Miss.
You like hot cocoa?
Not anymore, but I grew up on that stuff.
Oh, it's so bad for you.
It's terrible.
It's horrible. Just drink nice warm milk.
Okay.
Huh? All right. Calcium. So. Calcium.
So, I mean, they're doomed, but what else is new?
They are, and I'm sad about it.
They are doomed, but they're not alone because our next couple, Becca and Austin, well, they're also doomed.
Not fully just yet.
Oh,
I'm still, they're still, all these couples are going down, but I think they still have little floaties. And I think one floatie popped, so they're like floating with one arm.
It's going in circles.
But they still have a little chance if they can meet in the middle. That's literally compromise. One of our C's.
One of the big
C's. But if
C's?
They can't, then they will not make it.
So, obviously, they were talking about religion. It got real. It got maybe a little too real. Becca's crying. PC to the rescue. They call the pastor in.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing to me. Okay, so they got into a fight over religion, right?
Was it a fight? I don't know if I want to label it a fight.
It wasn't because they're like rubbing each other.
A disagreement.
And petting each other.
Sure. Yeah. Disagreement. I don't want to call it a fight.
Disagreement.
Disagreement. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you said, PC to the rescue. And he's happy that they called him because PC says, all right, neither of us died before.
Well, what was the issue? Let's talk about the issue.
Heaven and hell.
Heaven and hell. Does it exist? Who's going where? Is it a one-way ticket? Is it a buy one, get one? Is it a round trip? Is it a multi-city? Who's going where? Are we going together?
Okay.
Okay.
What do you believe in?
I don't believe in anything when it comes to the afterlife. Now, you know I'm agnostic. I stand by that. I'm with Becca on this where I say, I don't know what's out there, but if I had to put my money on it, I would say I don't think there's a heaven or a hell. And honestly, a lot of people find comfort in that idea. To me, that keeps me up at night because then I'm going like, what is it? Who's there? What am I going to do forever? Really? That seems exhausting. So it's just easier for me to be like, I don't know. I'll deal with this life. And afterwards, we'll see what happens.
I think for someone like me who is an atheist, I obviously don't believe in anything. I don't think there is anything. But then it makes me, I get anxious when I think about it. So I like to picture a parallel universe.
Oh boy.
Which is the same, just a little more faded in color.
Okay.
And that's where you go.
Why would you want that?
So you can keep on living.
Why would you want that though? Make it make sense. Who's there? So, who's
just so
there?
Just so I don't feel frustrated.
But you know
what? You know what frustrates me for someone who doesn't believe? And I think a lot of people who don't believe struggle with this, that it's all of a sudden it's nothing.
Yeah. What's more peaceful than that? to know that, like, you put in a good day's work, you punch the card, you go home, and you go to sleep. Like, what's more peaceful than that? You don't have to deal with anything afterwards.
No, I picture just alive. You don't have to work. You just, like, kind of just
but
chill.
But that's exhausting. It's forever? Not. You're going to do that forever?
Yeah.
And then you don't age, or you do age?
You don't.
And who's there? And
everyone.
And you're just there at the age that you died at?
Yeah.
And why is the color
sometimes
faded?
I like to think you go back to being young.
No, I don't. No, it's too complicated. This literally, if this was the reality, this would keep me up at night. I'd be like, how do I prepare for this? What do I pack?
Well, this is the only reason why I feel this way is because I sometimes believe in ghosts.
So I feel like I do too.
So that's why I'm saying a parallel universe. But because how else would there be around? Because
a ghost is just energy. If a ghost is to exist, that's just energy.
No, it's a parallel universe.
Okay. Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's move on. Basically, Austin doesn't think Becca can go to heaven. This is heartbreaking.
Because she doesn't believe in the G's.
She doesn't believe in the big J. And this is heartbreaking to her. Understandably, your partner for life, your spouse, your husband thinks you're going to hell. That's kind of hard to swallow.
It is, but at the same time, if you're not a believer, why do you care?
Because you know what the other person is envisioning. So you don't have to believe it, but even if you're not a bad person, if you hear that someone thinks you're a bad person, you'll be mad at that. Why do you think I'm a bad person? Now you're mad at that person.
Okay, you know how I always tell you that Czechs, we love our fairy tales, right?
Yes.
We watch them over Christmas. We have a lot of Czech fairy tales. I sometimes put them on YouTube when I get homesick. There is always the idea of hell. Like, it's always a king and a queen and a prince and a princess and a couple of devils and a couple of angels here and there and some hell, right?
Yeah.
It's always just people chilling in big barrels that are being set on fire just in a big bubble bath.
Yeah.
That's how I picture it. Doesn't look that bad.
And that's what it is, because it's living people's idea of something they've never experienced. There'd be no way for someone on this earth presently to know what the afterlife is like. So it's just people living going, this is maybe what it's like. There's no way to know. No one's ever come back and told us what it's like.
True.
So.
I'll be honest, right? And I don't want to get political and I'm not planning on, but what's happening in the world, in different parts of the world nowadays, that's a fucking hell.
Yeah.
What's happening in America at times, that's a hell. What can be worse than that? If I'm going to sit in a big jar of a bubbly water with a neighbor next to me so we can chat forever, why not? That's how I picture it because of the Czech fairy tales.
Yeah, that sounds like hell.
You know what I'm saying, right?
No, I don't, actually.
I have to show you some stuff.
You just sit in a... it sounds like, I don't know, like a stew?
It's
like a
witch's
stew?
It's like a bubble bath. But in like a
that's
big
hell? What's
barrel.
What's heaven? What's heaven? That,
in like a big barrel that's on fire. There's fire and like little devils running around that keep like lighting it up. But you sit around other bad people. You keep chatting.
It's a cartoon. If life,
it's not a cartoon. It's Czech fairy tales.
It's a fairy tale. If life is not a fairy tale, why would the afterlife be a fairy tale? We go and we do caricatures and we create all these fictional things for the afterlife. But the current life is not like that. So why would all of a sudden we just become fairy tales?
Why not? What else is out there?
Exactly. Nothing. That's my point.
Anyways. DC, so Becca is concerned that if Austin was paired up with a Christian woman, he would have been better off.
She's right and she's wrong. They wouldn't have this issue, but there would be other issues. So
true, but I wish he either told them that he is keen on religion, or if that's what he said, he paired him up with someone who is a little believer.
Yeah, I don't think Austin's being truthful. I've said it for the last 10 episodes. He's not being truthful. He's more religious than he's willing to admit. Whether that means willing to admit to himself, willing to admit to Becca, or willing to admit to the world. He's more religious than he's willing to admit. And that and not being truthful causes problems. And we're
seeing it
right here.
But maybe he's not being truthful to himself either.
Very fair. Exactly.
Maybe when he was filling up the questionnaire, he said to himself, I just want to find love. So it's fine if she doesn't believe. We'll deal with it.
And there's so many people who are religious because that's the way they were raised. That's they don't want to disappoint their parents, their family. And so they act religious, but they're not. Maybe Austin wanted to be paired with someone who wasn't religious to kind of move him away from that, but he's struggling to separate.
We'll see.
All right, we will see. I think this is a good place to take a break. When we come back, say it ain't so. Ryan is still kicking around this episode, this season, but
I have a feeling they're gonna try it again.
Oh, please don't. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a second.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Teresa. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm with you. Oh, Ryan. Oh, go home.
Oh, Ryan. Oh, no. Every time I see him, I'm like, why? If you wanted to still be on this season, maybe you shouldn't have given up.
And someone like him should not give an advice to anyone.
This is the way. Exactly. Thank you. Should we start? Because Ryan and Cameron talk and Lauren and Claire talk.
Yeah. Orion thinks he's D.O., but he's not.
Dr. Orion?
Yeah.
He's do not. Talk to anyone about relationships. Yeah. So Cameron's saying he is attracted to Claire. He values her. He did have feelings for her.
So it kind of flip-flops back and forth. So Claire's telling Lauren, well, I don't think he's attracted to me. And it's in my head. And I've been thinking about it this whole time. Cameron's telling Orion, I am attracted to her. I have been. I tried. But she's really not giving me any clear signs. Like one day, it seems like she doesn't want to be with me. And then she says things and I'm like, oh, so you do want me. Like when she says, oh, I like having you around.
Yeah. Orion gives the worst advice.
Okay.
Ever.
Orion says the worst thing ever because he's like, you should advocate for yourself more because I was advocating for myself more. Are you fucking kidding me, you moron?
I literally wrote down, Orion is the opposite of an expert. He's a moron. His advice was, he's like, I don't want you to get hurt, so don't get reeled back in. Don't catch. It's like, dude, that's the name of the game. That's what you signed up for. You threw in the towel. You gave up. You were scared, but don't try to influence someone else who actually may have a shot at happiness.
Yeah.
It's called being vulnerable. Teresa, yeah. You ever hear that word before?
Yeah, but I don't want to say it.
Say it.
Vulnerable.
Teresa was vulnerable in that moment right there saying it. You got to be vulnerable and maybe you'll find love. And Orion's like, don't do it. You might get hurt. You know what? You might get hurt. You also might find the woman of your dreams.
Correct.
Terrible advice, Orion.
Yeah, and freaking Cameron, he's like, all right, well, I have to think about it now. I have to think about it. Maybe I do need to advocate for myself. Dude, like, yes, you should stand up for who you are, what you want, 100%. But don't take any advice from freaking Orion.
Yeah, please don't. And then just, yeah, with Lauren and Claire, she was basically saying the opposite. Which is don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't have what ifs. Just try. And it's the name of the game. It's 8 weeks. Can you not try for 8 weeks?
You guys are halfway in.
You're halfway there living on a prayer. If after 8 weeks it doesn't work, all right, then you say no. But at least you gave the old college try.
Yeah. Speaking of halfway there, It's the one man anniversary. Everyone's celebrating, but Cameron and Claire.
Yeah. I think Cameron went biking with an old friend of his.
Yeah, but when I say everyone, I just mean the two leftover couples.
That's right.
Yeah, so Becca and Austin are going ice skating, which I like that ice skating ring. I always feel like when you go to an arena, I'm like, why is there the middle?
There's a lot of nonsense happening in the middle.
A lot of nonsense.
There's always one girl practicing her figure skating. It's a lot of nonsense.
That's so true.
A lot of nonsense happening
there's
in the middle
always
of the ice
someone. Ring. Or people cutting.
Or people, yes. Give me a nice track. Like a high school track that's iced over. This was beautiful. Didn't love Becca's like kickboard or walker.
Especially because she was able to skate. She didn't seem like a total beginner.
No, she knew what she was doing. Austin definitely knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I don't like pink, but it looked good on her. Like her pink fluffy coat pink hair.
I didn't know we were doing alphas this segment. So
we're not, but...
I thought you were talking about like raise your glass.
She has a style, so I comment on it.
Okay. So they skated, and this is romantic. This is a romantic date.
Yeah, and after skating, they're doing s'mores.
Shout out to s'mores.
I don't even know what the real thing is.
S'mores.
Yeah, s'mores. I love, and I don't often laugh at myself. I don't often watch the snippets that John posts online because it gives me anxiety just seeing myself. Uh-huh. But the one you posted about me and my confidence when I talked about s'mores.
So much confidence.
That's my favorite thing ever.
I don't even know what show we were talking about at that point.
I don't know.
But you're like, s'mores. I was like, what did you say? S'mores.
You're like,
S-M-O-R-F.
You're like, s'mores.
You learn something new every day on this podcast.
Yeah, but this was romantic, doing ice skating, doing s'mores, being cozy.
Yeah, they were sitting there and Austin kind of launched into like a vows 2.0. I thought he was going to say he loved her here.
And that's why I'm saying I do see something in there. I think they have a nice connection. They have a nice attraction. They're building something. They have a big roadblock.
Big roadblock.
Will they overcome it?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But you see them like this, both of them, and you think, oh, they're a nice couple. They have fun together.
When they're not talking about religion.
Yeah.
Again, all is well.
All I'm saying, if they can overcome that or develop some new issues, I think that would literally ruin them. But yeah, we'll see.
I really liked what Austin said. We've heard and we've said and we've learned. It's hard to say I love you to people when you're in a new relationship. And people skirt the issue, come up with their own words, their own phrases, their own sayings. This is the first time I've heard someone say, I love liking you. Which I thought was clever. I liked that Austin said, I love liking you.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Yeah. I was like, that's fun. That's
yeah.
Cool. So, yeah. Okay. Then new day, we have Austin FaceTiming his friend Lindsay.
And here's what I'm saying he's trying, because he's trying to make sense of his religious beliefs.
Okay.
He's trying to find a loophole for him to believe that Becca will not go to hell because she is a good person. And just because she doesn't believe doesn't mean she needs to go to hell. And he calls his religious friend Lindsay, who has a little different point of view. And thank you, Lindsay.
I liked what she said. As someone who doesn't necessarily believe in heaven or hell, I did like how she said, I think what it is a separation from God. For people who lived a bad life, well, they'll be separate from God in the afterlife. And for people who lived a good life, they'll be closer to God in the afterlife. And that's something I can wrap my head
around. And he liked it. And
Lindsay did more than Pastor Cal did.
True. But he said, I want to believe that, you know, I know Becca's a good person. So thank you for saying this. And then he said, I have an open mind. I'm open to hearing other perspectives and kind of trying to figure things out.
Yes. So then we move on back to Emily and Bryn, and it's their 1 month anniversary.
Yes, and they're doing the snow horses.
We meet Leaf and
Gucci,
his horse friends. Yeah, a bunch of swell sirs.
Swell sirs. I hate the name Gucci on a horse.
I hate the name Gucci on most things, even on clothing.
I don't mind it on clothing because that's the brand.
But it's been co-opted. It's been I don't like when people, oh, that's Gucci. It's been co-opted where it no longer means what it means.
True. I've known this one Czech guy in New York, and he was trying to be posh, but he wasn't. But he and his wife, they had a dog, like two dogs named Gucci and like a Louis Vuitton or whatever other brand.
They should have had two dogs, Louis and Vuitton.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Call me if you guys need dog names, please. Before you name your dog Gucci, just call me.
But it's like, I'm like, oh, that's just, you're just trying so hard.
Yeah, it's a little much.
Yeah.
Couldn't afford the car, name my daughter Alexis.
What?
Moving on.
I got it.
They do.
I was just going to say the best horse name ever is?
Vegas? Oh, Tommy.
It's Tommy.
Yeah, that was my horse.
Yeah.
In Vegas.
Vegas was my horse. It was a mule.
It was.
It's not a bad name.
Don't sell yourself short.
No, but I really wanted Tommy.
They almost gave you beautiful. Yes. And then they ripped beautiful away from you and gave you Vegas.
Vegas was a baby.
And I got Thomas.
I really wanted Tommy.
I almost called him Thomas. I almost called him his
I really wanted
name.
Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy's a baby.
Yeah, Tommy was a nice horse.
Anyways, they horseback ride through the snow-covered mountains. This is romantic.
Yeah, for who? Brandon and Gucci?
Yeah, they were bonding. They even
Brandon
trotted.
Loved Gucci.
We didn't trot. We didn't get the trot. Too hot to trot.
Yeah.
We were taking it easy, taking it slow.
I was, well, my mule was running exactly. A little bit because he loved all the snacks.
He would see a snack. She would see a snack run.
I was nervous.
Yeah. So I think we got a little foreshadowing during this segment because maybe I misheard, but I thought Emily said, oh, we should do something more adrenaline-induced,
she did.
Right? Didn't we see a preview where she like wrecks an ATV later in this? Yeah. Yeah. So a little foreshadowing there.
But then, this is so nice. I would love to do that.
I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
I'd love to do it. So then they go for dinner and drinks. Emily's feeling good. Feels like the week couldn't have been any better. Brennan moved in, which is big.
Sharing
a bed. So that's big news. And he goes, in the past, I would have ran from a red flag.
And Emily says, am I red flag? And he says, yes.
This is so telling and at the same time not telling me enough. The fact that he's saying red flag, I'm like, what is the red flag? She's not a red flag. Something she's doing is a red flag. Tell us what it is. If I were Emily, here's what I would do. And she would, I think, agree and like this plan. Get a couple bottles of liquor. Get Brennan's favorite bottles of liquor.
Ooh.
Get him real drunk. Get him real liquored up. And then ask him, what is the issue? What don't you like about me? What are you unattracted to? A little truth serum.
I agree. I mean, when you get drunk, you spill the beans.
I think so, especially off camera.
Yeah.
Get a little loose and just ask him.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a good plan.
I think it's a good plan, too. She might even know by now.
She might know by now.
I wish we knew.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. So, like, this dinner literally went from nice to ew.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not the anniversary dinner we all expected.
No, it wasn't great. And then Claire and Cameron. So as we said, it was a not anniversary for them. There was no month anniversary. They were not celebrating together. We see Claire at home. She got a message from Cameron, who clearly took Orion's shitty advice and was like, "I'm not coming home. I'm tapping out. I'm scared to get hurt, so I'm gonna stay away." It's ridiculous. He's scared to get hurt, so he's gonna pull this shit. But he's not scared to hurt Claire. It's very selfish. I don't want to get hurt, so this is what I'm gonna do. I don't care how you feel or what you're gonna do. This is what I'm gonna do because I'm scared to get hurt.
Well, to his defense, she keeps saying that she wasn't sure how she feels. She wasn't sure if this is right. She didn't want to get close. And I get it. Maybe he was getting attached and realized that she will not. She will never. So she's backing down.
4 more weeks.
Listen, I'm with you on the 4 more weeks, but I can understand how someone can feel hurt. If one person is in the relationship more than the other.
We've seen it time and time again. Shout out to Jamie and Doug. Where?
But they picked it up on the honeymoon. They went from
maybe
bad start to getting very close and cozy. Like this is the opposite. They all are going down the hill.
Yeah. The indoor hill.
Yeah. They all went up right away. Now everyone's going down.
Yeah. All right. Group dinner.
1 month anniversary group dinner.
Finally. An event that Orion wasn't invited to.
And finally, Becca's doing a tequila shot.
It did look like she was drinking some liquor, right?
Yeah.
Good for her. Good for her. And maybe she got some liquid courage because she throws out some questions. She starts with the interrogations. If you could go back in time and give yourself advice, what would it be?
Ride the wave,
Emily
says Emily.
Ride the wave.
But you are.
Be prepared for the ripples.
Yeah, but I feel like she is riding the wave.
She's trying her best.
Yeah.
She's trying her best. She's riding the buzz. There's nothing else. It goes to Brennan next because we're just going to go around the horn. And Brennan's like, nah, you go, Cameron. Which is, he's so disconnected. It's infuriating.
So disconnected.
Even look at what he's wearing. Everyone at that dinner is dressed like it's prom or dressed like it's the rehearsal dinner. He was wearing a hoodie and a t-shirt.
Yeah, I have to give Emily shit for her dress. That was a bad look on her.
I honestly don't remember what anyone wore except for Brennan because he was wearing a hoodie from Pacific Sunwear.
Well, Becca looked really good. Nice dress.
Okay.
Claire looked nice too, but yeah, we cannot really judge someone's fashion. I mean,
I absolutely can. This is an outward show of how not serious you're taking this.
That's a good point.
Everyone is wearing a button down, a dress, a blade. You're showing up in a hoodie?
I missed it.
You're checked out, man. It's bullshit.
I missed it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So he's like, I don't know, Cameron, you go. And Cameron says, well, no matter how hard you think it's going to be, it's going to be harder. Claire says, prepare to be confused. Austin says, get in tune with your emotional side. And then Emily goes, what are you guys most nervous about for the next month? And again, Cameron is worried about the fallout. He's, let me quote my friend John Mayer, if I may.
You may.
Oh, look at you. So one of the things he said wasn't in a recorded song, but I think he did it in a live performance. He broke down the song and he said, don't be scared about next Tuesday because Tuesday hasn't happened yet.
What's it in the acoustic show we went to?
No. He did a live series of recordings called As Is, and he would 10, 15 years ago record these shows, put them out as like one-offs. And in one song, I think maybe My Stupid Mouth, I think he said, don't be scared about next Tuesday because Tuesday hasn't happened yet. And it always stuck with me. Like, how many times do you sit there and you're freaking out? You have this feeling like, why am I feel uneasy. Why am I uneasy? You can't even remember why you're uneasy. You just have this uneasy feeling. Cameron's living thinking about Tuesday. Tuesday hasn't happened yet. Don't worry about it. Like, live in the present. Maybe you can make something out of it. You can turn this thing around. You're already thinking about D-Day and that it's going to be a divorce.
True. I get it. But I also think that if you know that something's bad about to happen, if you are in control of that, you'll feel better. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It's sort of the easy way out to be like, well, I'm going to take this last bit of control and just end it. It's the easy way out. it's maybe not the best way out because maybe they could salvage it and be happy together.
They could, but this is not just Cameron doing. Like, she feels the same, and she hasn't really tried. I mean, they've tried to be friends, but when it comes to any relationshipy stuff, being a little more touchy-feely, even hold hands, like, she didn't try any of that, and she owns up to that. She said, I know, I was confusing. I kept saying, yes, no, I don't know what I want. Yes. And I can see how that gets old.
Yeah, because Cameron stinks.
No, he doesn't.
He stinks.
He actually doesn't.
I was reminded once again how much he stinks. Well, first of all, he does this whole like, all right, on the count of three, let's say if we want to divorce or if we want to stay together, which is ridiculous to do this in front of everyone.
Yeah, okay? But I'm pretty sure he knew that they both will say divorce.
Okay, well, that's dumb to make a game show out of it. They do it. They both say separate. Okay. Then he goes, a few years ago, I had a choice when I put my dog down, whether I'd put her down right away or wait a few days. Well, I'd never take those days back, and I'd never take these days back. You just compared your wife to a dog, Cameron.
Well, you love your pets.
If you compared me to your dog, I would be very offended.
I don't think that's what he meant.
That's what he said. I don't care what he meant. That's what he said.
He didn't Cameron compare stinks. Her to a dog. He compared waiting for something bad that's going to happen. Why would you put it off for a few days if you know it's going to happen?
No, he said he did put it off for a few days so he could enjoy the time with his dog. And now he's happy that he's enjoying the time with Cameron for Claire for a few days.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's comparing. He's saying, oh, this is the same thing.
He's comparing the timeline.
A few more days with my dog.
The timeline, not the dog.
Okay. You're such a Cameron apologist.
Well, I am because I don't think he did anything wrong. I think he tried, but...
No, if he tried, he would stick it out for 4 more weeks.
And I think he will. I don't think they will get a divorce. I think they're getting separated.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. This map.
They should put this season down. Someone call the vet and put this season down.
But I still like watching.
Oh, I do too.
You see?
Yeah, I'm a sucker for this shit. So then it goes to Emily and Brennan. Claire asks them, do you guys see a future? And they're both just sitting there in silence. And Emily's like, well, okay, Brennan, you answer. And he goes, we're taking it day by day. And Emily just about shot lasers out of her eyeballs when he said
her eyes are rolling so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty astonishing that he cannot read that face.
Yeah, but I think she's so fed up that she excuses herself. And Brennan's like, I'll go with you. She's like, nope. No. But Claire follows her as the therapist that she is.
Yeah.
And they keep talking, and Emily tells her, I'm so frustrated with him.
All of these people are trying to get the other people to get divorced. Like, Orion was trying to break up Claire and Cameron. Now, Claire's trying to break up Emily and Brennan.
Yeah. But then this turns into a high school dance because Emily gets upset as she leaves. Claire goes to Brennan,
mm-hmm.
and says, hey, like, she likes you a lot. Like, she likes you. You should go and follow her. Go and see what's going on. Where are we? What is this, Denver High?
Yeah, it's Denver High. It's ridiculous.
He does follow her, and they ended up chatting in a van.
It's ridiculous.
Like a minivan. I don't know who owns it.
I know. It must have been production or something, because everyone else went home in a party bus.
Yeah.
And... on the way home, Cameron was like, yeah, I'm going to go back and live in Boulder. And Claire's like, I'm going to go to my house.
He lives in Boulder?
Yeah, he lives in Boulder.
Nice.
And then Claire and Cameron go to their apartment. And when they get there, they are greeted by their anniversary gift. It's their vows and their photo album.
And I thought this is going to make them reconcile.
I thought this was the happy ending, the rom-com, the cheesy moment where it's like, whoa, what are we doing? Look at how much we love each other. Not really.
No, they love it, but they ultimately decide that this is it.
I don't understand how they're going to possibly squeeze another 10 episodes out of this season.
They won't.
They have to.
It's going to be Michael's show. The Michael show.
They have to. Michael Scott Paper Company. They got to do something. I don't know. It's wild. But what a season.
What a season. What an episode.
Hope you guys are enjoying it as much as we are.
I love it. The guilty pleasure me loves it. The realistic me says, this season stinks.
As someone who loves love, I love love, I can't stand this season. As someone who just really appreciates reality television, I get so excited on Wednesdays because I'm like, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
Where are we going next?
Yeah.
Who's going to break up next? How's this going to end? What's the next twist? It's been unlike any season.
Yeah.
Wild.
Wild. Nashville was boring as hell.
Yeah,
so
we had Hank the dog.
Yeah, well, a dog cannot hold 39 episodes.
38. All right, that's the episode. Thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to hear us talk about the new season of The Single Life, you can do that on Patreon and Supercast. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality. MarriedToReality.Supercast.com. Join us on the Cousins Club or Family Affair level. Also, make sure you're following us on Instagram at MarriedToRealityPod. Call in. Let us know how you're feeling about this season. Also, make sure you're following us wherever you're listening to this podcast. It's so easy to do. Look down and smash that follow button.
Yes, guys. Smash it like it's as hard as hell.
Dang. Aggressive.
You really asked for it.
I got it.
You really asked for it.
I got in your head. All right. And last but not least, if you haven't left a review, please do a belated holiday gift, if you will.
A January gift. A New Year gift.
A January. Yeah, New Year.
It's past the every year. December 26th. Done. I'm done. I don't want to hear a single Christmas song.
Wow.
I'm done for the year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you can still leave a review. Please do.
Leave a review. I'm just sharing how I feel.
If you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it on the Monday podcast.
Yes.
All right. There it is. Thank you guys for listening.
I've said it all.
You sure have. That means we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.